Please pray with me and for me. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. The first reading we had today actually builds on some of the sermons we've heard before in the past 2 weeks. Nathaniel spoke about Ezekiel and the watchman, the Old Testament, about the importance of warning and heeding them. Last week, Father Eric talked about how the first century Christian church, as revealed in the reading from Romans, was troubled while addressing issues in conflict. So much different than today. Today, we build on those by looking at the experience of Jonah and Nineveh. Now, the story comes down to Nineveh was disobeying God, and God sent Jonah to act as a watchman to tell them that in 40 days, God would destroy the city. Now, we're not told the background of Nineveh, that it was built by Nimrod, a descendant of Noah, and that it was the home of the king of Assyria, after he was defeated by Israel when God struck down 185,000. The king continued to worship his gods and was struck down by two of his sons, and another took his place as king. Now, I tell you that prequel so that you'll know that the people of Nineveh were no stranger to God's wrath, but they hadn't turned from their gods. We don't know at this point, but we'll see later on, so stay tuned. Whether the people of Nineveh knew that they were doing what they were doing was wrong. Sure, they'd experienced God's wrath, but they may have chalked it up to their God wasn't up to our God, or going up against Israel wasn't that good an idea. So they had experience in how that worked out. Now, I have some empathy for Nineveh, because a little over 20 years ago, I didn't know that I was amazingly wrong in my faith. I was raised in a Presbyterian church with my whole family. The church was formed in 1866. The church was, not my family. That's a whole separate thing. It was a large, old, smelly, musty place. There wasn't a lot for kids to do, although I do vividly recall all the rules that came with it. You had to dress up in Sunday clothes. You had to sit still and pay attention. And there was no making paper airplanes of the bulletins and flying them off of the balcony. Although I did find that did get you a lot better hang time being that high up to start with. As a teenager, I transitioned to the Lutheran church, not just to be with my friends, but I found it more engaging. We learned some Bible stories and attended church, but it wasn't long before I went off to college, and that was the end of church for me. Based on my earlier observations, I had found organized religion in general to be restrictive and in some ways even hypocritical. Things like, God is everywhere. Well, then why do I have to come to church to talk to him? God loves me just as I am. Excuse me. Well, then how come I have to dress up to come to church? I really didn't get it. It wasn't until we were regularly attending the church where Darla's stepdad was rector that I was struck by seeing real faith in action. That under the water part of the iceberg I'd been missing all those years. People walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Now, my point here is that I didn't know. Just as God tells Jonah, Nineveh, in which there were more than 120,000 people who did not know their right hand from their left. Nineveh didn't get it either. And God knew that. That's why he sent watchman Jonah to warn them. Now, as Nathaniel spoke about in Ezekiel, if they hadn't listened to the watchman, their blood would have been on their hands. The Ninevans decided to heed Jonah. Not only did they believe what he said, but they took action. They fasted and wore sackcloth. Now, sackcloth isn't just a fashion choice. It's an outward sign of inner repentance and being humble. And a repentant person should be a humble person. He has seen his sins and turned from them. God saw that Nineveh had repented, and he spared the city. So this is an example of how God is merciful and doesn't want to destroy us, but wants us to turn to him in obedience and love. In much the same way that God brought me back, not only from disdain for the church, but abundantly blessed, from a cynic to a servant who now recognizes the grace and mercy of God. Now that's not the end of the story. Jonah doesn't know that Nineveh's repented, so he seeks a ringside seat to watch it, perhaps even looking forward to the devastation. Nineveh's going to get what's coming to it, and Jonah's going to directly witness the power of God. It sounds like some kind of action thriller flick. But then when it doesn't happen, Jonah gets irritated. But God had more to teach Jonah. God had a plant grow over him to give him shade from the blazing sun and save him from his discomfort. The next day, God sent a worm to cause the plant to wither, and Jonah was again subjected to blazing sun and hot wind, which we can't relate to because of our recent weather, right? It was severe. He wanted to die, but God used this as a teachable moment. He thought the lesson being taught here is that God is showing Jonah how harsh conditions can be for us without God's mercy. In this case, God's mercy was the plant providing shade. By having the worm chew away at the plant, thereby killing it, it's like when we don't have mercy or forgiveness for others. It gets under our skin and chews away at us, slowly eroding our ability to see the light of Christ and to reflect it. We lose the shade of God's love, leaving us vulnerable in a very harsh world. God led by example by giving Nineveh mercy, but it wasn't just mercy that was conveyed. It was mercy as the result of coming into obedience with the Lord. It was Nineveh turning toward God. Even today, this option is open to everyone. Yes, everyone. During the education time between services, we've been considering how we can become more engaged in the community, how we can help others not only physically or materially, but also spiritually. We need to grab on to this story as an example, the story of Jonah, as a way we can find out in the community who either doesn't know God or perhaps think they're too far gone off the path to be forgiven. Nineveh shows us this is never the case. God was sent to find those who were lost. In Matthew 15:24, he states, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, Nineveh is a pen of 120,000 lost sheep. We'll leave the cattle to themselves. But they heeded the watchman and turned to God. We received the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. Jesus isn't talking about political boundaries. He himself crossed cultural and societal borders, healing the sick, talking to Samaritans, prostitutes, tax collectors, when it really was culturally taboo. We have nations within our community, nations of the poor, the infirm, the abused. These nations we've been hearing about between services. If they, like the Assyrians living in Nineveh, don't know the real truth of Christ and God's mercy, if they don't know that Jesus is waiting for them to come to him, then we can be the light of Christ. We espouse to be this, lighting their way. We can be the lamp unto their feet. We can be Jonah without the whole swallowed by the fish thing. And show them that we talk the talk, but we also walk the walk. And that leads to God's love, mercy, and forgiveness through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.